Welcome again to Artbeat. I'm Jeffrey Brown. The San Francisco Symphony is marking its 100th anniversary this year. It's a rich history, and even in a time when we often hear of the troubles of classical music, it's one that continues to grow. A major part of that is the symphony's music director, Michael Tilson Thomas, who joins us now by phone from San Francisco. And welcome to you.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I'm really very happy to be with you.
Now, at a moment like this, you must think a lot about the role of a symphony orchestra in its community, in particular, and perhaps how that's changed. How do you define it today?
The orchestra's, I think, now become a real torchbearer of the whole culture around classical music and is really very much the motivating force for a community's focus on that, which comes a lot through our educational projects. It comes from all of the things that we do in the various kinds of media that we increasingly produce ourselves and shape to reach different kinds of audiences, both in San Francisco and around the rest of the world. So it's very much more than just coming in and playing the notes, I think. It's really everyone thinking about how they are part of the community.
Well, that's what I wonder. I mean, a community has its sports teams, it has all kinds of cultural institutions. You're performing at an international level and around the world, but is local first? Is that how you define yourself?
I think we're very aware of our audiences. This is something that perhaps that I've inherited from my grandparents, you know, who were pioneer founders of the Yiddish theater, and I was raised in a kind of a theatrical environment to be very much aware of the audience, kind of who really are our audience members and where are they and how can we be with them, and at the same time how can we have ambitions for them of where we would like them to be and how much music that they don't know would we like to introduce. So that idea of the kind of partnership that we have with our audience is essential to everything we do. And in this celebratory year, for example, yes, we are making some recordings and videos. Yes, we are doing a certain amount of touring. But what we're really doing a lot is bringing other ensembles and soloists to San Francisco so that we can really celebrate with them in the town that we love so much that shapes so much of what we do.
Well, you know, at this time when a lot of orchestras are having hard times, really, you see so many efforts around the country to engage the community, to try to reach out, to bring new audiences. And I've had the chance to talk to people doing that around the country. Where do you think orchestras are doing well and where do they fail now in reaching out and engaging the community?
I think the best way for me to answer that is just to say what I believe in, that I believe in the relationship very much, the relationships between myself and my colleagues on stage and our relationship to the audience, to the many different audiences that a great orchestra has, because different series, different repertoire, it attracts different audiences. We even feel it from night to night when we're doing a subscription program, that the Wednesday and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday, these audiences all have a particular kind of character. Mm-hmm. And they we relate to them, I think, in different ways, let alone what it means to have a series which is focused toward Baroque music or focused toward contemporary music. But whatever it is, we always are thinking about them and never expecting that simply because it's a certain night of the week, people will just show up. I think there was a time in American cultural life, symphonic life, when just the sort of habit of going to concerts sustained a great deal of it, that it was very much tied to a certain group in society who were making that night part of their general weekly, monthly habit. But we don't presume that anymore. I mean, just subscriptions, for example, in every ensemble in the country are smaller in number than they once were. So we're very much more focused on each week, each concert, what is happening, who is coming, how attractive the program is, how well a job we can do, how an excellent job we can do about presenting that online or in some other way so that people are aware of it and it captures their attention. We never stop thinking about that.
But give me an example then. So, I mean, part of that is clearly through programming, right?
Yes.
So what's an example of how you would think differently or think in a new way?
Well, of course, I'm very aware of the appeal of various soloists and of balancing traditional repertoire with challenging repertoire. Also, we've developed with the audience an interest in particular composers so that over the years I've focused their attention on Ives music, for example. We're now developing a whole project which is comparing music of Franz Peter Schubert and Alban Berg. We have the Maverick series, which is coming back, which presents really iconoclastic American composers, many of whom come from the Bay Area, and many of whom were introduced to this audience 10 or 15 years ago. So it's to focus on what's happening in this evening's concert, but also how it fits into a kind of larger consciousness-raising agenda that we have with the audiences now and well into the future.
So does it bother you that so much of the attention for classical music these days is about the problems of classical music? I mean, do you buy that there is a problem, or do you just prefer to think through ways to address it?
I think you always have to be thinking about it. You have to be thinking about building the loyalties with your public, of sustaining their interest. And, the best thing about live music is that it needs to be played as if it were alive.
Mm-hmm.
it can't be a ritual. It has to be really something striking and generously presented. And perhaps this is one of the most important qualities that I share with the members of the orchestra, that we are in very, very good communication. And I would say after 17 years that I've been with them, I feel that our communication is the best and most open now that it's ever been.
Really?
And I know that is so. And I can feel it from them and from the audience. And so much about my way of working with them is trying to create a situation in which they feel the freedom to really be the kinds of musicians, the kinds of soloists, the kinds of amazing team players that they are, and to enjoy the musical process. And when that happens, I think everyone feels it. And that is about how we all are with one another in every rehearsal, and trying to really be there for the music and for one another. And that perhaps sounds very kind of, what is it, Bay Area. But
well, why not, right?
One of my favorite lines of Walt Whitman is, he said, nothing endures but personal qualities. And in the context in which he says that means it's not only what is done, but it's the spirit in which it's done. And that affects everyone who's with an organization over a long period of time. And hey, the orchestra's celebrating its 100th birthday. I think there are many things about the adventurous character of the orchestra and about the desire of its audience to have fun with the music as well as being enlightened by the music. But I think that character must have always been there, and it's something that we still have and that we cherish.
Well, so we're talking about the contemporary experience of the orchestra. Do you tie it back to its foundings 100 years ago?
Definitely. I mean, San Francisco had a big history of loving music back to the Gold Rush. It's extraordinary seeing the big personalities who came through the town and had their ardent fans, whether they were Adam Menken or Ali Bull or Tetrazzini or whoever. But there was always a desire to hear concert music and opera. After the 1906 earthquake, even there was music going on in the streets, and performers, classical performers, were taking pianos out into the parks and playing for people in tent cities. And part of the dream that the city had of reinventing itself after the earthquake was very much tied to the creation of cultural institutions, and the symphony, which was founded in 1911, was one of those, that the groups of musicians were gotten together in those intervening years, and then with Henry Hadley, who was an American composer, interestingly, the first music director chosen by the orchestra, this whole continuum began. And I think that idea of music for the people, music to lift people's spirits, was an essential part of the origin of the band.
And the challenge continues, though, to continue that identity between city and orchestra, institution.
That's it. That's what we do.
All right. Well, 100 years and counting for the San Francisco Symphony. Michael Tilson Thomas is the music director. Thanks so much for talking to us, and congratulations and good luck.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
And thank you all for joining us again on Artbeat. I'm Jeffrey Brown.